Unity prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May our Lord Jesus, may our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. Make our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to the silence together. Make our glances profoundly penetrate each other. Make our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. We ask the Holy Spirit to be upon us, among us, as we read the book of Adam. May we gain knowledge and understanding of the divine science. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we will continue with the book of Adam. The next passage is from volume 25, March 3, 1929.
Entry number 74. I feel my poor mind as though fixed in the divine volition, and I was thinking to myself, how can his kingdom ever come upon earth? And besides, how can it come if it is not known? But while I was thinking about this, my always lovable Jesus, coming out of my interior, told me, my daughter, in my works, I make use of human means, though I do the first part, the foundation and all the substance of the work that I want to do. And then I make use of creatures, so that my work may be known and have life in the midst of creatures. So I did in redemption. I made use of the apostles in order to make it known, to propagate it, and to receive and give the fruits of redemption. And if the apostles had not wanted to say anything of what I said and did in coming upon earth, enclosed in their muteness, had taken not one step, nor made one sacrifice, nor laid down their lives in order to make known the great good of my coming upon earth, they would have caused my redemption to die upon its rising. And the generations would have remained without the gospel, the sacraments, and all the goods which my redemption did and will do. This was my purpose. And as in the last years of my life down here, I called the apostles around me to make use of them as the proclaimers of what I had done and said. Oh, if the apostles had remained silent, they would have been responsible for the loss of so many souls who would have not had known the good of redemption. The apostles would have been responsible for so much good not done by creatures. But because they did not remain silent, and they laid down their lives, they can be called after me, authors and cause of so many souls being saved, and of all the goods that have been done in my church, forming as the first proclaimers her unshakable pillars. It is our usual divine way that first we do our first act in our works. We place everything that is needed, and then we entrust them to creatures, giving them sufficient graces so that they may continue what we have done. And therefore, our works became known according to the interest and the goodwill that creatures have. So it will be with the kingdom of my divine will. I called you as a second mother of mine, and one-on-one, just as I did with her in the kingdom of redemption, I manifested to you the many secrets of my divine fiat, the great good of it, and how it wants to come to reign upon earth. I can say that I have done everything. And if I called my minister so that you might open yourself in order to make it known, my intent was that he would have interest in making known a good so great. And if this interest were not part there on the part of those who should occupy themselves with it, they would put the kingdom of my will at risk of dying upon its rising, becoming themselves responsible for all the good that a kingdom so holy can bring.
Okay, let's stop there, please.
Okay.
Let's go back at the beginning of the paragraph. Let's try to understand what the Lord is talking about when he mentions the work of redemption. One of the things that we have to understand also is when the Lord talks about redemption, he is referring to everything that he has done out of love for everyone. So this refers to everything that the Lord Jesus has done for us. This means his incarnation, every single moment that he spent in the humanity. So incarnation, the time that he was in the womb of the Blessed Mother, as we read in the Christmas Novena, his nativity, his suffering, his hidden life, all his 3 years of teaching and ministry, his passion, his death, his resurrection, all the life of Jesus, that's what he refers as redemption. So everything that he has done out of love for all of us. And when we follow the words of redemption, basically we go around and we thank our Lord Jesus. We place our I thank you and our I love you. We place our act of praise, glory, and adoration and thanksgiving in every single tear, in every single act that he did out of love for all of us. And with that, we ask our Lord Jesus to let his will descend upon earth, to reign in each one of us the same way as it reigns in every one of the saints in heaven. So we, first of all, we go around, we thank him, just as we thank God the Father when we recall all that he has done for us in creation. So we go around and we thank our Lord Jesus for everything he has done for us. Again, for every tear, for every act that he did, for everything that he suffers. So we recognize, we acknowledge what he has done for us. We place our I love you, our act of praise, glory, and adoration. And with his same acts, we ask him to let the gift of the divine will, his will, to reign in our souls. So in that way, we correspond to him for everything he has done for us. We call those the acts of redemption. And this is what he is referring in this passage, that the apostles, they were, in a way, indoctrinated by our Lord Jesus during those 3 years that they spent with our Lord Jesus and they received from our Lord Jesus. And their mission was to let those, to let that knowledge, to let that, the good news to be known to everybody. And we see that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, to go around all the world to teach the people everything that our Lord Jesus told them. And he says, also baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will remain with you until the end of the world. So we know that's their mission. They were formed by our Lord Jesus. To them, the mission for them was to make Jesus known, basically. The good news, to proclaim the good news. And what's the good news? That there is salvation in Jesus. Gospel means good news. So they go around proclaiming the gospel, meaning proclaiming the good news. But what's the good news? The good news is that there is salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has reconciled us with God the Father. And we first have to know Jesus in order to understand how the gift of the divine will operates in us. And that is possible for that to operate in us, to return, to reign in the creature as it reigns in heaven. So many people, they ask why the Lord Jesus didn't speak about the divine will. In fact, he spoke about the divine will. You read the Gospels. He says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's the kingdom of heaven? It's the kingdom of the divine will. And many times he refers as the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, like a farmer, like a woman who lost a coin. The kingdom of heaven is like a father. So he's always referring to the kingdom of heaven. In order for us to understand the divine will, we need to understand the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus is, for us, the key to go back to the possession of this gift in us. So the world first have to know Jesus in order for the world to know that it is possible for his will to reign in us, for this gift that was lost by Adam and Eve, by the disobedience, that is possible to return to each one of us. And now that the disciples, they went out and they proclaimed, they filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out and they proclaimed Jesus. And the church has been praying the prayer of our Lord Jesus, asking for the divine will to descend and to reign in each one of us as it reigns in each one of the saints in heaven. So we know the saints, they are fixed in the will of God. They don't possess a free will anymore. But we do, and in order for us to let that divine will to reign in us, it reigns in heaven, we have to give our fiat. We have to give our yes to the Lord. To say to God, I'm totally yours. Basically, that's what the word fiat means. I am yours. May it be done to me according to your will. So that was the mission of the apostles, to make Jesus known. And the Lord explains in this passage that if they have not done so, they will be accountable for losing many souls. But they went and they proclaimed Jesus. They went and they fulfilled their vocation. They were given the graces that they needed, as he says. They received the sufficient grace to accomplish their mission. What was their mission? Their mission was to proclaim Jesus, to make Jesus known. Their mission was not to proclaim the divine will, because people will not be able to understand it at that time. So now basically this gift that we possess now through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, this is a fruit of the acts of redemption of our Lord Jesus, because it was, first of all, in order for us to have knowledge of this gift, it was necessary for Jesus to become man. So we can say that the gift, the knowledge of the divine will that we have in our time to the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, is a fruit of the acts of redemption, is the fruit of what Jesus did for us. The disciples, they accomplish their mission, their ministry. And now that we have the knowledge of how to let the divine will reign in each one of us, it is up to each one of us to give our will to the Lord or not. But in order to arrive to the possession of the gift of God, of the will of God operating in us, it is necessary that we may unite ourselves to His will. It is necessary for us to correspond to God, everything that He has done out of love for us in creation, to correspond to God for everything He has done for us in redemption. So basically, to correspond to the first person of the Blessed Trinity, to correspond to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and to allow the third person of the Blessed Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, to sanctify us by uniting ourselves to the will of God that is one. Three divine persons, one will. So to correspond to God the Father for everything He has done in creation for us, to correspond to our Lord Jesus for everything He has done in redemption for us, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in us, in that way we correspond to Him. So as our Lord Jesus was living moment by moment in Him, He was living all redemption. He was doing redemption. We, by uniting ourselves to the will of God, the work of sanctification is happening in each one of us. So we can say that every single act united with the will of God is also a work of sanctification. Why? Because it sanctifies us. It purifies us also. Our Lord Jesus, by living moment by moment in the humanity that he took on, in himself, he was doing the acts of redemption, and he was opening the door for us to be able to one day unite ourselves to his will. In his humanity, there is nothing to be sanctified. But in us, we have to be sanctified, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we allowed the Holy Spirit to operate in us by virtue of uniting ourselves to his will, by surrendering our will to the will of God, then the Holy Spirit is free to operate and to operate in us and to sanctify us, to make us holy. So in that way, he can fulfill his part. But this is only if we give our will to him. So then we can say that by acknowledging the Holy Spirit working in us, we are also corresponding to the Holy Spirit. So in that way, we are moving towards the fulfillment of creation in our person. The purpose of creation is fulfilled in each one of us the more we unite ourselves to his will. The work of God is being accomplished individually in each one of us. And this is something that we have to really understand, because this is so many people, they think that the divine will is going to come and reign suddenly from one day to another universally. But no, it happens one by one. Remember what the Lord says in the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So it's in each one of us. It begins with each one of us. It's not something that is going to happen from one day to another, and suddenly everybody is going to be united to the will of God. No, because each one of us has a free will. And everybody is able to advance according to our dispositions. Everybody according to the dispositions that we have in our soul. It's the same as when we receive the Eucharist. Everybody receives as much as he or she is able to receive. According to the dispositions of the soul. So yes, the mission of the disciples is the same mission of the church. So the church continues that mission of the disciples. And now that we have basically the answer of the prayer that is contained in the Our Father, that we know how to let the divine will reign in us as it reigns in heaven, the church now continues that mission. It's the same mission of is the mission of the church also. And the church, as the church continues to carry the mission that the disciples receive, this will happen until the end of time. Because remember, go to all the world, baptizing all peoples in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So this is a mission that the church will have to carry forever until the end of time. Therefore, we will always need the sacraments in the church, because everything begins with the sacrament of baptism, that gift that we lost with the disobedience is being restored in baptism. I mean, it was restored by Jesus on the cross, dying for us, accomplishing all the works of redemption. But that grace, we receive that grace in baptism. So we will always need the church. We will always need the sacrament of baptism. And the rest of the sacraments are going to be always needed for us to arrive to the possession of the will of God reigning in us. Now, when we come and we read these passages from the Book of Heaven, what do we gain? We gain knowledge and understanding of how to arrive to the possession of the divine will reigning in us. So what is the mission of the church? To proclaim Jesus, the good news till the end of time. And also it is the mission of the church also to lead us towards the fulfillment of God's will for each one of us. And what's God's will for each one of us? That we may all recover the grace that we lost with Adam and Eve. That we may all receive that original grace to go back to the possession of that original gift. And that's why the Book of Heaven, it says, the call to the creatures to go back to the order, to the place, and for the purpose for which we were created by God. The main purpose for our creation is that we may give glory, praise, honor, and adoration, as it is contained in the Our Fathers. Thy will be done. May your, before that, hallowed be thy name. May your name be glorified by us at every single moment with every single act. Not only when we go to Mass, not only when we pray the rosary, not only when we do good, not only when we do good things, but at every moment, with every breath we take, with every blinking of the eye, with everything that we do, may the name of God be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. So that's the main purpose for our creation, that we may give glory to God. And now that we know how to give glory to God at every single moment of our lives. Now, in a way, this is also our mission to make it known how. And this is the mission of Luisa Picarreta, to be the secretary of the divine will, the little daughter of the divine will, to write everything down so that through these writings we may learn how to give glory to God, how to make his name glorified at every moment. Now, another thing that we have to understand here, because our Lord Jesus calls Luisa Picarreta, let me see. I call you as a second mother of mine. We have to understand this one because A lot of people, they get confused and they think that Luisa Picarreta is at the same level as the Blessed Mother, which is not. Remember that in the book of the Blessed Mother, in the lessons of the Blessed Mother, she explains very well her motherhood. What does it mean for her to be our mother? And when can she really say that we are her children? So I'm always asking you to go back and to read those lessons, only the lessons. It's almost a complete course in which the Blessed Mother teaches the divine will. But for our purpose tonight, I just want to clarify that the motherhood of the Blessed Mother towards us is to give us the gift of the divine will, that we may come to the possession of the divine will in us, that we may possess what she possessed by grace. And the motherhood, her motherhood, her maternity towards God is to give to God what belongs to him. So her maternity towards God is to give to God what belongs to him. And the maternity, her maternity towards us is to give us the possession of the divine will. So when the Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that I'm calling you as a second mother, basically so that you may give to me what belongs to me, what other creatures are not given me, which is perfect love, perfect honor, perfect adoration, perfect thanksgiving and recognition. So this one is very important to understand, because we don't want to make Luisa the same as the Blessed Mother, because she's not. So basically, when the Lord says, I'm calling you as a second mother, is I'm calling you so that through you being united to the divine will, through your acts, you may give everything that the other creatures, they have denied, because they do not know how to give everything back to God. But by you doing it and then writing it, others will come to know. So others will make the same acts of giving the same glory, honor, and adoration to God. So that's why it is important to understand this aspect. Then our Lord Jesus clearly calls Luisa she's a minister. Because remember, when we operate in this way, we minister to God. We are giving everything back to him. We are fulfilling what the Catechism of the Catholic Church asks us to do in 358, to return all his creation to God, to love him. So let's continue the second part, because this is a long passage.
Or they would be deserving to be put aside, while I would call others as proclaimers and propagators of the knowledges of my divine fiat. Until I find some who have interest and take to heart making known its knowledges, more than if it were their own lives, the kingdom of my will can have neither its beginning nor its life upon earth. After this, I continued my abandonment in the divine fiat, and my highest good, Jesus, added, my daughter. In creation, it was my divine will that had its field of action. And although our divinity was concurrent, because we are inseparable from it, however, the prime act, the action, was totally of our will. It spoke and it operated. It spoke and it ordered. We were the spectators of what our supreme volition was doing with such great mastery, order, and harmony that we felt worthily glorified and made twice as happy by our very will. Therefore, since creation is its work, the whole strength of creation and all the goods with which it was enriched are all in my supreme will. It is the primary life of everything, and this is why it loves creation so much, because it feels its very life in all created things, and its very life flows in them. So much so that in creating man, wanting to make greater display of its power, of its love, and of its mastery, it wanted to enclose in him all the art of the entire creation. Not only this, but it wanted to surpass it, giving him such brushstrokes of divine art as to make him the little God and laying itself inside and outside of him, to the right and to the left, above his head and under his feet. I carried him within my divine will as the outpouring of our love and as the triumpher and admirer of its insuperable mastery. Therefore, it was the right of my divine fiat for man to live only and always of divine will. What had it not done for him? It called him from nothing. It formed him. It gave him his being. And it gave him double life, the life of man and that of my divine will, in order to carry him always clasped in its creative arms, so as to preserve him, beautiful, fresh, happy, just as it had created him. So when man sinned, my fiat felt itself being snatched of the life with which it carried in its very womb. One cannot imagine its sorrow. It remained with the void in its womb of this son for whom, with so much love, so as to keep him safe and happy, it had made room within its very life. And do you think that in redemption it was not my very divine will that incarnated itself in order to come to find the lost man? It was precisely it, because verbum means word, and our word is the fiat, which just as in creation it spoke and created, in the same way in redemption wanted and incarnated itself, it was its empty womb that claimed this child who, with so much cruelty, had wriggled away. And what did this will of mine not do in redemption? But it is not yet content with what I did. It wants to fill its womb. It no longer wants to see man disfigured by sin, by dissimilarity from it, and it wants to see him adorned by the insignia of creation, adorned with its beauty and sanctity, and taking his place once again inside its divine womb. The fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven is precisely this, that man return into my divine will, and only when it sees again its child happy, living in its house with the opulence of its goods, then will it calm itself. And so it will be able to say, my child has come back. He is clothed with his royal garments. He wears the crown of king. He lives together with me, and I have given back to him the rights which I gave him in creating him. So the disorder in creation is ended because man has come back into my divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So we see the the need for us to propagate, not only to study the divine will, the writings of the divine will, but also to propagate them, to make them known with people, among people. And I guess as long as we do this, as long as people know that this is something that is available and something that they can receive and they can do, that's all we can do. Because remember, everybody has a free will to say yes to God or to say no. But the more we read, the more we understand the Book of Heaven, the more we do our acts in union with God's will, the more we minister to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Why? Because he receives glory, honor, love, right? And then we become ministers to the wounded heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. We minister to God basically every time that we correspond for the works of creation, for the works of redemption. And every time that we do our acts in union with the divine will, we correspond basically to the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in what they have done for us. Now, to proclaim the gift of the divine will, we can say that it is our mission to begin right there where the Lord has placed us, in our own vocation, in our own calling. This is the will of God, remember, that we may go back to the possession of that original grace, to possess that original grace beginning here, that we don't have to wait until we die, that now we know how we can glorify God with everything we do. And to correspond to God for everything that he has done for us, just by living our single, our simple life, fulfilling our vocation, doing what the Lord has called us to do, just being united moment by moment with him, that he wants us to receive that divine right that we lost. That last passage, I think it really tells us everything. It says, "The fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven is precisely this, that man returned into my divine will. And only when it sees again its child happy," meaning the divine will, "living in his house with the opulence of his goods, then will it calm itself. And so it will be able to say, my child has come back. He's clothed with royal garments. He wears the crown of king. He lives together with me. And I have given back to him the rights which I gave him in creating him." See, he wants to give us back what we lost. This paragraph, it really reminds me the gospel in which our Lord Jesus tells the parable of the prodigal son, that the father sees from afar the prodigal son coming back. And once the prodigal son comes back, he says quickly, put him sandals on his feet, put him a new tunic, put a ring in his hand, to restoring him back to the place where he belongs. But do you see that the son first have to come back to his senses and to recognize that he was wandering, that he was living like a slave, far away, and that only if he will come back to his father's house, then he will receive that grace and the generosity of the father, that the son wanted to come back. He knew that he wasn't worthy, that he had squandered everything, and that he was willing just to live as one of the workers, of the servants. But the father didn't want that. He wanted to restore him to his original place. And this is basically, in that parable, we see basically what God the Father wants to do with us now, in the context of us knowing this gift of the divine will, that we have lost the rights, even though it was not our fault, we participate of the consequence. And now that our Lord Jesus has restored us to that grace through his sacrifice on the cross, he has reconciled us to the Father, we are able to approach God the Father back, and he's willing to give us all the rights that we possess back in creation. And that only in this way, God will be happy with us, completely happy. And only in this way, we will be able to receive. Only in this way, he will be able to give. And us, we will be able to receive. Otherwise, we can't receive. Because we just don't possess the capacity to receive everything that he wants to give us. And because we have a free will that he has given us, he will never surpass this free will. So I think we have, each one of us has to do his own part. Each one of us have to do the work. But the fact that we already know these writings and that we are trying to understand them is also a sign that we are walking towards the possession of that gift in our lives. So let's leave it there for today and ask the Lord Jesus to help us understand the urgency for us also to make this gift known to others and to pray for others so they may also be able to receive this gift, that they may have the dispositions to receive this gift operating in their souls. We have